From Hollywood, it's time now for Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Edward Whiteman, Mr. Dollar. I understand that Mr. Soderbury's death brought you here.
Yes, thanks for calling back. I tried to locate the constable, Fred Remen, I believe his name is.
Yes.
I haven't found him, so I thought I'd talk with you. You were riding with Mr. Soderbury when he was killed, is that right?
Yes, I was. I'll do everything I can to help you. And as a matter of fact, I just left Constable Remen.
Oh? Where is he? I'd like to see him.
Well, he thinks he's found the place from which the shots were fired. The roof of Goodwin's store. I left him there less than 5 minutes ago. If you'll meet me in front of your hotel, I'll show you.
Thanks, Mr. Whiteman. I'll be down right away.
Edmund O'Brien, in a transcribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Britannia Life Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Soderbury Maine matter. Expense account item 1, $42.45, airfare, car rental, and incidentals between Hartford and Soderbury. I, for one, had never heard of the town, but I found it a few miles from Portland, Maine. First two church spires, and then the small group of companion buildings, all set against a peaceful New England background. The first thing I noticed when I drove onto a single business street was that some bunting, and a few American flags were still standing, reminders of the ceremony during which its leading citizen, Gordon Soderbury, had been murdered. His personal secretary and assistant, Edward Whiteman, gave me the details after I met him in front of my hotel.
The ceremony? Oh, yes, you wouldn't have noticed entering town from the east. You didn't know about the factory?
No, I hadn't heard. New one?
No.
Mr. Soderbury built it during the first year of World War II. He won some subcontracts from the shipbuilders and hoped to bring new wealth to the town. The ceremony was arranged this morning because it reopened. It could hardly have been called happy even before a tragedy.
Oh, the town was a favor of the factory?
Definitely not. Let me cross over here. These people were settled in their ways. The factory changed things. Outside men came into work, married local girls, and took them away. The farmers in the section lost the free labor of their sons for wages and had to hire older men.
I can see how it would upset a place like this. You think somebody could have been incensed enough over the reopening to have killed Mr. Soderbury?
I have no idea. I thought I should mention the feeling of the town. He and I were in the first of three cars riding to the factory. We were in the rear seat. Suddenly, he stiffened. He made the sound of... I couldn't describe it. I didn't know what happened. I don't think I heard the shots. He slumped forward. This is Goodwin's store.
Where was the car?
As close as I can recall, it was directly in front, straight out from here. Of course, the chauffeur stopped as soon as he realized what had happened. That'd be about up there, near the wagon.
This is a limousine, I hear. That's pretty close shooting. Are the windows up or down?
No, they were down. Open, that is.
How do you get up on the roof of the store?
Oh, there's stairs in the rear. Fred, a practical run. Yes? Who's that? Ed Whitman. There's a man here who's been sent up from Connecticut to see you. I want to ask you some questions. I'll have to go back to the office. All right, what can I do?
Why did you pick this roof as the place where the shooting was done?
Because Mr. Soderbury's office was just in front. And none of the others, three or four doors either side, have stairs to it.
That's good enough. Even resting a rifle barrel on the floor's front would be some pretty fancy shooting.
It isn't fair rifle room. It's had you for a good number of years now, if you know your history. I've been proud of the shooting at some of the matches we've had, but I can't say I'm so proud now.
You have any idea where to start?
There's been a man in my life. Benny Southern. He had a 16-year-old son killed by a bandsaw when the factory was open before. And now he's got another. Young Ben. He'll reach 16 next week.
Insurance investigator.
Oh, of course. But then would you
3 this afternoon.
And undoubtedly, you know more about this horrible thing than I do.
I'm afraid it's not very much. I've been working with Constable Remen. He wants to narrow it down to one of the local men who is against the factory reopening. But from what I've learned, it refuses to be narrowed very much on that basis.
Yes, I'm afraid you're quite right. My brother was not famous for making friends. I say that at the risk of sounding cold and unemotional.
Emotion very seldom helps in my work.
Which is fair to not the truth. I think Gordon understood what he was doing, I'm sure he did. We knew that our people detest change, they simply can't cope with it. Yet he forced it on them in 1942.
You see yourself to be apart from your people, Miss Sullivan.
Yes, but only by reason of inheritance. Change was forced upon me, too. I was much younger than my brother. I was sent to school in England, but I came back and found it quite easy to forget and settle back into this tiny world.
I suppose the whole town did during the years after the factory closed.
Of course it did.
There was one particular man, Ben Sutherland. What do you think of him?
I don't know. I suppose his name is in everyone's mind tonight. The death of his son because of the hated factory, it had a violent reaction on him. And why not? He knew his son hadn't been born to stand in front of the machine that killed him. What did he say?
He can't be located. Left town last night. He took young Ben with him.
I hope it isn't him. He suffered a lot. I could be troubling the general.
That's your dog?
Yes, General Scott. It took him a while when you arrived, didn't it?
No, it's the first I've heard from him. By the time we got an oil lantern lit and I found the dog, he was moving silently toward the house, trailing what looked like a fractured front leg. I didn't know what to think when I told the surviving sister about it. She didn't seem frightened. But I couldn't help wondering whether her loyalty to her people wasn't misplaced, and whether the killer hadn't decided to eliminate all the Sodaberrys from the town that bore their name. I phoned Constable Remen as soon as I got back into the house, but it was a needless call. The sound of the shots in the quiet village had aroused everyone, and those who cared seemed to know right where to come. The first to arrive was Edward Whiteman, the dead man's assistant. Less than a minute later, the constable and Lawrence Taft. After we'd made another swing around the house without turning up anything, and after we'd satisfied ourselves that Beth Sodaberry was well protected, Remen and I started back toward my hotel. Tell me about Beth and these others, Whiteman and this man Taft.
Which Indian went first?
Whiteman, he's not a native, is he?
No, he's from Bangor. Came here when Mr. Sodaberry commenced to open up.
He's not an old friend like Taft, then?
Not hardly. Lawrence Taft was orphaned a good deal back. His folks died in a fire. Mr. Sodaberry took him in, sent him to school in Brunswick. Taft helped him with the factory last time. He made a smart man out of him. But I wouldn't stay happy.
How come?
Unless folks leave town and never come back, they're all mixed up. When they're twixt in between, like Taft is, it ain't natural.
That's pretty much what Beth told me.
She and him have been sort of thick on her own. Well, I'll come across here. You got your directions straight?
Yeah. Where was Lawrence Taft this morning, Constable?
You mean when the trouble broke out?
That's right.
With Miss Beth, most likely.
Why? I guess we can check that, then.
Well, thinking he killed Mr. Sodaberry.
I don't want anything to slip by.
You don't know us, people. We pay what we owe if it takes all our life. The debt that was between them two was thicker than blood. Lawrence Taft would have killed himself before he would have killed Mr. Sodaberry.
You know them better than I do.
That's the truth. I'll see you in the morning. I hope you sleep well.
The next day, things moved along a little more according to the book. The countryman arrived before noon to remove the body for autopsy and ballistics examination, and soon after they left a report. Came from the state police. Ben Sutherland and his truck had been spotted leaving a town 5 miles away. A car escorted him to Sodaberry, and the constable and I were at his house when he arrived.
Go in the house where your sister could be. I'll send to your plane when I'm aligned to.
wages would buy. He'd be careful, he told me. If he earned enough wages, he'd go to school like Lawrence Taft, crazy like his brother. And I put an axe handle to him and put him in the truck and carried him away.
Where, Mr. Sutherland?
He's on a farm where he belongs, up north, above Brighton. He's on a farm where he'd be safe.
How far away is it?
More than 20 miles.
What time did you leave?
After 9 o'clock.
He got there before midnight, then.
He slept in the truck. I left him with Alex Turner.
Son of...
Then you had time to drive back here before the factory... Then you had time to drive back here before the factory ceremony started.
I went to Brighton.
Your face is scratched and cut. Your clothes are torn. How did that happen?
I fought with a man.
What man, and why did you fight?
I don't know what man. I don't know who. I fought because I was drunk. I went to Brighton to drink, and that's what I did.
Not for 9 years. Has that happened?
You didn't come back here last night and have to fight off a dog at the Soderbury place?
I was in Brighton.
If you were, you'll probably be asked to prove it.
That's where I was.
And you'd better start remembering who you fought or who you were with. That's all for me, Constable. We were involved with approximately 280 people, most of whom were known to each other by sight, at least. The work Constable Remen had been doing without me had alibied most of them. Practically everybody had been on the street during the start of the ceremony and at the time of the shooting. Less than 40 were unaccounted for at 5:30 that afternoon when the county officers called in their report. Point of entry was just below the left arm, the arm hadn't been touched. Angle of entry still made it look like the killer had fired from the roof of the store. And the murder weapon was identified as a not-too-common rifle, caliber 253,000. And now the unaccounted for citizens seemed to be trimmed down to four who owned that caliber rifle. Ben Sutherland was among them. It was close to noon the following day before the results of the test firing came back. The murder weapon wasn't among the rifles that were sent in.
But then I did something wrong. I am no great shakes of trouble like this.
It's not necessarily that we did something wrong, Constable. Maybe we just didn't do quite enough. One of those 253,000 got away from us.
A man's rifle is no secret here, and he's proud of it.
What kind of rifle did Gordon Soderbury own?
Why?
The townspeople hated the factory. That's the motive we've given them. But none of them owned the murder weapon. Not even poor Ben Sutherland with a stronger motive than anyone else. Unless he could have bought a rifle with just this in mind and kept it hidden.
I don't know.
We'll work on that, too. But for now, let's look at the people we've neglected. Edward Whiteman can't be involved because he was sitting next to the victim. You tell me Lawrence Taft is clear.
He wouldn't ever kill Mr. Soderbury.
And the sister. She seems to belong more to the town than to the family. She didn't approve of what her brother was doing.
I can't hold a thing like that in my mind. We don't kill our kin here.
There are some that have. Will you do this for me? Will you get the three of them in here and keep them for an hour?
Well, how would I keep them?
I don't know. Write up a statement for them to sign. Something about the ballistics reports. You can spend some time over them. Then ask the sister to go into detail about what she's going to do with the factory. I'll try to take less than an hour.
I'd say I can do it word for word, but I'll try. And if you will write that statement, I'll be obliged. I ain't so good with a pen.
It took me somewhat less than an hour, and what I found didn't make sense for a while. A rifle, well hidden beneath some torn clothes in the closet. The rifle's caliber matched that of the weapon that had killed Gordon Soderbury. I reached his home soon after his sister did.
Well, I
don't
think you're ready to die.
How much do you know what lay behind the trouble the other morning?
I beg your pardon?
If you know who killed your brother, you'd better clear your skirts. Two people are going to tear up any lies you tell.
Mr. Darling, if you know, please tell me.
Lawrence Taft.
Oh, you lied. No, he didn't.
He tried.
Why do you say that?
You better say that first line again. Pretty much cleared the whole town of the murder. You can't do that without having something left over.
But you're lying. Lying for you to my brother?
That's what I've been told. But would you react the same way if Edward Whiteman was dead and I told you Taft had killed him?
I
said to Beth, you didn't Broad and Soderbury, did you?
No, I didn't.
But you hated Whiteman, didn't
what
you?
What reason would I...
The factory, for one. You were important last time, but you were left out the other morning, isn't that right?
Oh, always the factory. What difference did it make to you, Ryan?
Brennan told me you people always paid your debts. Maybe that was it. But an outsider came in and forced him out so he couldn't prove himself. Maybe he was afraid Whiteman would force out of your life, too. You did try to kill Edward Whiteman, didn't you?
Yes.
And Gordon Soderbury was killed by mistake.
Yes.
No, I didn't mean to. I know I'm weak and I'm mixed up. I don't know where I belong. I knew he couldn't stay here. Whiteman was taking my place, and I knew people were laughing at me because I failed. I did try to kill him. Thought it was for you. I didn't know until later I found out. Later.
Featured in tonight's cast were Robert Cupp, Howard McNair,